Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 30th of July, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick review of the week. And in terms of stock markets, well, it's been a pause after what was a very good rally over the preceding 3 weeks, so a pause against the background of overbought conditions. Here today, we didn't have any big changes. The Asian markets were mostly down a little bit, as were the European stock markets. Wall Street had been down, but closed unchanged. And Brazil was firm, but Mexico and Canada, I see, are down a little bit. Long-dated government bonds, they bounced back, bond prices, that is. They had weakened in the previous 2 weeks, but rebounded quite sharply here, particularly today. And for instance, the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond future is up 1.24. So that's a strong gain. And the U.S. dollar has continued to drift lower. Sterling has continued to rally up to 156.84 against the dollar. The euro has been generally steady at 130.38 against the dollar. That's down a little bit here today. The commodity currencies have been firm. The industrial metals have been firm. Precious metals, mixed. Gold's probably the only one that's down a little bit on the week, but it's had a good day here today, up 13.5 to 11.81.75. But the bigger story is among some of the agricultural commodities, which have had another good week in here. The grain and bean complex is very firm. Sugar market has continued its ranging recovery. Coffee broke out to the upside following a brief consolidation, so real strength in this sector. I think I left out energy. The crude oil price has been quiet, but hovering near that $78-$79 level. And natural gas has had a good week, up 95 cents, it looks like, here today. But it's currently at 4.92. Okay, so what's going on here as far as the big picture is concerned? Well, global stock markets have paused against that background of short-term overbought indicators following a rally. There's quite a debate going on about what's likely to happen here in the near term. And you had offsetting factors here. I think the U.S. GDP today, for instance, was lowered for the second quarter. That came in under expectations, I think 2.4% growth. But then there was a consumer price index report, which was slightly higher than expected, and that steadied the market. So mixed evidence in here, but more often than not, the evidence has shown signs of a weaker economy overall. But it's really sentiment that's the key issue here in the short term, as is so often the case. And investors know that we've still got, Western investors, I should say, know that we've still got a seasonally less productive period to go through. The summer months, when many people are on holiday, and stock markets often drift. you know, if you're a believer in the sell in May and go away, that markets often have a mixed performance until some point in October. So the big question is, are we going to see a further pullback? And I posted an excellent report here today by my old friend Robin Griffiths, and he really does write the best monthly technical report that I've ever seen, at any rate. Very clear, very concise, and he's known for his strong views, and he feels that there's a risk of another 10-15% correction in the Western markets. I think that's by no means a given. I can see why, and I'm sure you can as well, why that might possibly happen, but that strikes me as very much the outside extreme risk. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see markets range for a little while longer in a support building phase, but whatever happens here, I remain fairly optimistic that we'll have firmer markets come the fourth quarter of the year. And I like the technical action that we've seen from Fuller Money Themes, most of them at any rate. The Asian stock markets, India, they've been very attractive. India's hesitated here up near the upper side of its range once again, but the Indian Banks Index is really very strong. China, which had been in retreat, I maintain, mainly because of supply in the form of all the IPOs, but China saw further gains this week, and it's put in a solid performance over the last 3 weeks or so. I wouldn't be surprised if that's an important bottom. So, and the valuations in China, I think, are really quite attractive overall. And I think, actually, valuations in the Fuller Money Themes in general are favorable. So I don't think this is a bad environment at all. Having sold my gold shares, which had had the big positions, that was Lihir Gold and the Australian company, and the BlackRock Gold and General Fund, those are my big positions. Having booked some nice profits there, I'm content to sit with the BlackRock profit. I plowed the Lihir profit into Royal Dutch for the dividend of over 6% on the B shares, and I'm content to hold on to the remaining cash just in case we do get a dip here over the next two or three months. I can deploy that, or if markets remain steady and continue to push ahead, led by those strong Asian and South American markets, then I'll probably top up somewhere else. I'm by no means despondent about the outlook here for stock markets, although there are some short-term uncertainties, aren't there always? Long-dated government bonds. I'm wary of the strength. I think we know why this is taking place. That a lot of it is quantitative easing. A lot of it is the recapitalization of the banking sector through the yield curve, where they can borrow cheaply from central banks and then leverage up in the fixed interest market, as long as they know that the government is committed to keeping yields down as they have been. I do feel there are long-term inflation risks in here, but those are not reflected at all by what we see in the long-dated government bond markets at this stage. I think another surge in government bond prices, in other words, another drop in yields of any substance, would be a concern, because that would be giving a stronger deflation warning, and that might worry stock markets. But as I've already said, I think the stock market background is not is re it's not at all unattractive, and as a matter of fact, it's reasonably attractive. And monetary indicators are favorable in the sense that interest rates remain low. Companies are able to perform in this environment, as we've seen. The emerging market sector countries are doing extremely well. So we just have the slow growth in Europe and the slow growth in the United States. But I think this is far from the disaster. For instance, people were regarding Europe as a complete disaster just a very short while ago. Well, Germany's exports are doing splendidly. Arguably, nobody exports more competitive, better equipment around the world than Germany. It's the export powerhouse, more so than China, I would say. Now, moving on, what about these currencies? The dollar continues to lose a haven status, and I wouldn't be surprised if Bernanke has put his foot on the money printing accelerator here quite recently, because we've had all this talk in the U.S., all this cheerleading in favor of an export-led recovery. Well, the dollar's last rally, when stock markets were coming down off their April highs, really created a headwind for in terms of export competitiveness. And the U.S. is not in a position, or the U.S. economy rather, is not in a position to deal with a strong currency. And so those gains have been pegged back very, very sharply, particularly against the resources currencies and against really strong growth countries, Singapore. The greenback's fallen to a new low for the year against the Singapore dollar, for instance. So we've seen the dollar come back far enough so that it's probably, while the downward trend for the dollar on the US dollar index is very consistent, and that suggests that it can go a little further. But then I think we may well have a bit of a quieter period in currencies, mostly ranging activity overall. I think the yen is ridiculously overvalued under the circumstances and a real headwind for Japan's export earnings. But the Bank of Japan seems to be reluctant to do anything about it so far. But down at this level that we've seen, we got down to 85.95 against the US dollar at one point today. It's currently 86.45. But this is an area of historic lows, and I don't think it's sustainable here. We had the yen, I beg your pardon, we had the dollar break down against the yen this morning, and that would attract some trend following among forex traders, but it didn't follow through in here. But bottom line, I just think this is a very uncompetitive level for the yen. I think it's kiboshed Japan's opportunity to see a decent stock market rally, and I think that will remain the case until we see the dollar yen rate, which is currently, as I said, 86.45. I think we need to see that back up over 92. When will that happen? Well, I think it will happen, whether it's in the short term or the medium term. I don't know. But as I say, this is a real problem for Japan. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Gold has underperforming here as a currency, and that's as of those downside key day reversals in June. And while a little steadier here today, I think there is a risk that gold will continue to range or drift. And I think again, it's lost some of the immediacy of its haven appeal. I think it's very much still within a secular bull market, but I think we probably completed that last medium-term uptrend. You remember, I've mentioned this on so many occasions, but this fascinating sequence of advances commencing in September every other year. So September 2005, gold and the other precious metals took off on the upside and had a terrific run. Then a corrective phase, and then in September of 2007, we saw it all again. Again in September 2009, and I think that trend to the upside probably ended in June for gold, a little earlier for palladium, which had been the cycle cycle leader. So I think they may, as I say, continue to drift and range. The remarkable thing about this is that, of course, there's no reason why gold has to repeat that medium-term cycle, but it has been remarkable. And if it were to repeat it again, then we're talking about September 2011 with gold taking off again to the upside. Either way, sooner or later, I think that we will see this secular uptrend take gold higher. But in the meantime, I wouldn't expect too much on the upside. So the action in commodities has shifted to other areas. The industrial metals are firmer, and that's certainly, and as are the industrial commodities generally, they're firmer, and the dollar's tailwind is part of the story behind them, but I think they also represent good value, and you can't pick up a financial newspaper these days without reading another story about how China is hoovering up every resource it can lay its hands on, and I think that's probably going to continue. They occasionally sell something as well, but what they're really doing is tying up supplies around the world, securing additional supplies around the world. And one of the more interesting developments quite recently is the firmness of uranium, and the uranium price has ticked up. It's well worth looking at that. The uranium shares have certainly perked up. There is commonality in energy generally. Owen's commented on that here today, and so that's an interesting sector. And I think that investors should definitely have some weighting in energy. And I'm glad I've got that Shell position. Shell didn't do a whole lot when oil took off back in 2008, and I maintain that it was tracker funds that produced most of that last blast up to $147, and I don't think we'll see that repeated again anytime soon. But I do expect oil to remain firm. And I have also made the point about the reduction in offshore drilling and the increase in costs for offshore drilling generally have raised the floor under the crude oil price. And I think that's helped to revive interest in other forms of energy as well, including nuclear, which had been underperforming for quite some time. So that looks attractive. I could see myself, well, I've got a lot of exposure there actually through Rio in particular, although it's not Rio's such a big diversified company, it's not its main product, but also through BHP Billiton. small positions in Cameco and also Denison, which I picked up recently. So that looks interesting to me. And last but not least by a long shot, actually most, you could say the agricultural commodities are really very firm. And I can see additional rallies in the grain and bean complex for sugar and also coffee. So there's a lot going on in here. And I posted FM 4, my late June 1984 issue. I think it's interesting for the history. Meanwhile, I think that's a wrap, and I hope you have a terrific weekend. All the best.